Your Honor, the one case on the docket this morning is 2-24-0723. Shan Zhou, plaintiff appellee, the State Farm Fire Attorney, defendant appellee. Arguing on behalf of the appellant, Thomas M. Wolf. Arguing on behalf of the appellee, Ms. Christina M. Phillips.
Thank you. Mr. Wolf, you may proceed.
And may it please the court, counsel. My name is Tom Wolf, W-O-L-F, on behalf of the defendant appellant, State Farm Fire and Casualty Company. And Your Honors, today we're here to decide an issue related to an appraisal provision found in a homeowner's property insurance policy. And the primary issue today to decide is whether an appraisal can be compelled when the defendant, or any other party, I guess, disputes that the coverage exists for a portion of the claim submitted by an insured. The plaintiff's position that is spelled out in the briefs and that was ruled on by the court was that, which the trial court agreed with, was that was coverage is found for any portion of the loss, appraisal is appropriate. And the position advocated for by the plaintiff on appeal was that unless an insurer wholly denies there was a covered loss, causation for all of the claim damage is appropriate, amount of the loss question for the appraisal panel. We submit that that position and reasoning should be rejected for at least two reasons here today. One is that the position is totally unreasonable. And two, that that position is too general to apply across the board for all appraisal claims submitted by insureds in the state of Illinois. It's unreasonable because the issue of causation itself can end up being a coverage issue, which is not appropriate for appraisal. And I think that's spelled out from all the cases. Now, there's a disagreement whether causation may fall within this phrase, amount of the loss. But for sure, coverage issues have been ruled consistently in the state of Illinois and in the federal courts.
When State Farm sends out the claims adjuster to the home, doesn't he have to, or she have to determine the cause?
They do. They're required by the policy and by Illinois law to decide that issue.
So how is that different than what an appraiser does?
Right. So the adjuster, could be a specialist in insurance for property litigation claims, is not the one that would be going out to decide the appraisal. We don't know exactly who they would be in this case necessarily, but certainly they're not insurance adjusters who would go out and determine these issues all the time. At least it's possible that's the case. Now, the Tenth
Circuit in the Bonbeck Parker versus Travelers determined that causation or determining cause is within the realm of an appraisal.
Right, I think generally they're saying it should be decided in that question of an appraisal, but you know, the position we're advocating for here is that it's not a reasonable position to take because what actually damaged an item, I mean, it has to fall within the coverage grant and the policy itself.
Right, this is a covered loss, and clearly this is, it's covered. You've already, State Farm's already determined that there was hail damage.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate to apply that blanket across the board for every issue in the case because there could be a covered event, right, but damage to certain elements may not be covered at all. Therefore, raising the coverage question, which in the state of Illinois is not appropriate to be submitted to an appraisal.
Why not?
Right, because coverage issues have to be decided by the courts, not appraisers, and the cases spell that out.
It's already determined that it's a covered loss, it's just the extent or the amount of the loss. Isn't that what the appraisal clause states?
Certain elements.
You determine the amount of the loss?
Certain elements that were submitted in this claim were deemed to be covered. That doesn't mean everything is covered or that there's some overarching dome over at the house that everything now that's damaged is covered. That's not the case.
If we were to agree with you, wouldn't it really subvert the intent of having appraisal clauses in insurance contracts?
Well, I don't believe so.
You could come in every time and say, oh, this is all that's covered.
Well, they have to make a determination on every line item that's submitted. And, you know, oftentimes there are competing estimates that are submitted between the insured and the insurance company. And really the intent of these appraisal provisions is to look at what the parties agree on was damaged by whatever event, fire, hail. And if there's a disagreement on what it will cost to repair or replace those items, i.e. the amount of the loss, that's when appraisal should kick in and when it can be used to decide this issue. So there's not...
But isn't that really what we have here?
We do not.
The window trim, it appears, is inarguably damaged. But the replacement of the windows, according to you, is not covered. You know, I have issues along the line of Justice Burkett, but I'd add that the policy says the dwelling is covered, right? That's coverage A, correct?
Correct, yeah.
But within it, there are losses that are insured, and then there are losses that are not insured, which includes A to M, which includes wear and tear. Am I wrong about any of that?
That's accurate, yes.
And so the language of the policy doesn't say this is a coverage issue. And as we use the term in the law, that means an interpretation of the policy. There's no interpretation of the policy. Everybody knows and is clear on the fact that wear and tear isn't insured against. And again, this is the language of the policy, and the policy wasn't written by the plaintiff. The policy was written by you. And so, to me, I mean, I'm concerned that this is the scope of the loss. Otherwise, as Justice Burkett points out, you know, you get to, well, this shingle was damaged by hail, but that shingle wasn't. That's a coverage issue. And therefore, it can't be an appraisal under the appraisal clause that you wrote. And as I read the policy and the language in terms of the policy, I think you're reading that very broadly.
Well, I mean, even in the appraisal clause here, it requires one party to, if you're demanding an appraisal, to send a list of what you believe is in dispute. And it says the party seeking appraisal must provide the other party with written, itemized documentation of a specific dispute as to the amount of the loss, indicating dollar figure, not whether it was actually damaged by a covered event at all. And this appraisal provision is much more detailed than any that we've seen in the cases cited to in the briefs and submitted before the court, where they specifically limit what can actually be decided. No other questions of fact other than the amount of the loss. So
if I claim a personal property loss to my koi in my koi pond, and as I read coverage B, personal property, fish aren't covered, then that can't be appraised. It's a coverage issue.
I would agree, yes. Right. So, and what we're trying to avoid, right, and what State Farm's position is here is that, you know, they can submit...
The value of the koi.
I'm sorry?
The value of the koi, would that be covered? Would that be appraisable? Let's put it that
if
way.
If the koi was not excluded, could be compensable under the policy, but there's a difference as to how much it was worth, what it would cost to replace it, sure, that's an appraisable issue. Whether it falls within the coverage grant initially or there's an exclusion that applies to knock that out of coverage is fundamentally a coverage question that should not be submitted to appraisal.
And there's no need to interpret the policy here, so I guess that's why I'm concerned. It's not a coverage issue.
Right. Well, the...
No dispute about the meaning of the contract term.
Well, what we're saying is that this phrase, amount of loss, does not include a causation issue, which is, was this damaged by a sudden accidental physical loss? State Farm's position is no, that it was not.
Loss not insured against.
Correct. And that is a coverage question. Does it fall within coverage or not is quite literally a coverage question. Does this exclusion apply if there is some damage to the window?
I'd be more convinced if loss is not insured against or loss is not insured said loss is not covered.
Right.
You say a covered loss, correct? Isn't that what you've been saying all day here? Covered loss?
Whether it falls within coverage is one issue. We recognize that.
Is causation an element or a factor relative to your definition of a covered loss?
Right. The coverage grant requires that for coverage to be afforded to the dwelling, which is what we're talking about in this case, that there has to be sudden and accidental physical loss. Here, this would be hail hitting and damaging the windows. Right. If that doesn't happen, it's not covered under the policy under Section A. And that is a coverage question. And the appraisal provision removes the ability for any appraiser to decide that question in this case.
If I understand your argument, then an appraisal will never be available to the insured. Correct?
That's not correct, no.
Why isn't that correct if it's a covered, because it seems like you're arguing this isn't a covered loss.
Well, there
it's
are
not a covered
elements.
Loss. Why would there be an appraisal for it?
Right. So there are elements that were, that State Farm agreed were damaged by hail in this case, and they were paid out. But there are occasions, and we handle these all the time, where, parts of the roof are damaged, and there's a dispute as to whether the whole roof needs to be replaced or not, but there's clearly damage to the roof. The causation is not really in question. Can't match a shingle or something like that. That can all go to appraisal, and the appraisers can decide that question is what will it cost to put this item back into its pre-loss condition? And oftentimes there are disputes on that where insurance companies will say, well, no, you can replace the side of the roof. There's a matching shingle. You may get a public adjuster or another appraiser to say, no, you're wrong. This won't match exactly, and therefore the whole roof has to be replaced. That's a dispute that's always taken to appraisal. I've handled many of those myself. We submit them to our appraisers.
Your background and experience is not part of the record, is it?
Well, I mean, as an attorney, I hire the appraisers.
That would be like me saying, well, I had my fence replaced, and we had a disagreement about the price and blah, blah, blah.
Just to give background, I understand.
You say in your reply brief, it cannot be reinforced enough that this court has consistently held that appraisal cannot be used to decide questions of causation or scope of damages. But you then cite a number of cases that are all distinguishable. For example, Travis involved a dispute over a clause that said we will not pay more than cash value until actual repair or replacement is complete. And there was a water damage provision in that contract that was different than this. And all of the cases you cited.
Right. I think Travis.
The case that appears to be directly on point is an unpublished opinion from the Fifth, right? Is it?
That's the most closely on point case. I would agree with you. But I think the overarching theme in all of these cases, which that we cited from the state appellate courts, was unless you're deciding, the amount of value of the loss, you're dealing with coverage questions, unless the appraisal provision spells it out differently, but it doesn't in this case. You know, what we're trying to avoid here is where you could have 10 items submitted by an insured saying, well, all of these items are damaged, and the insurance company agrees that one of them actually was. According to the plaintiff's position in this case, the whole case goes to appraisal. You could have 10 exclusions that might apply, a massive dispute on whether anything else other than the one item was damaged. And according to trial court and some of these cases and the plaintiff's position, doesn't matter. Everything else has to be submitted to appraisal. Right? So that appraisal.
I'd like to interject something here. Your argument in your briefs and your argument just now strikes me as being a preemptive defense to what actual damages are going to be. It seems to me that you're arguing issues that the trial court hasn't even addressed yet, which is what is the appraisal and what are your defenses to the appraisal, and there will be a trial based upon coverage, causation, damages, And the appraisal will be one of the bits, pieces of evidence, but you're arguing things that don't relate to the appraisal clause, which is downstream liability. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, the trial court has compelled us into an appraisal. The findings in that appraisal will be binding on both parties as to the amount of the loss. And they'll decide the causation issue. We did raise defenses in our affirmative defenses in the case that relate directly to coverage. And those apparently would all be decided by the appraisers. We wouldn't have an appellate review of those. We have no recourse if they don't apply the coverage correctly.
The insurance contract preserves your, you don't waive your contractual defenses. They're preserved.
Well, it's not necessarily clear here because...
Well, the notice, well, we can make it clear. Your notice argument, for example, is preserved. That's not waived, is it? Were there any facts developed about whether or not notice was timely?
If you read the trial court's decision said it was completely waived at a judgment on the pleadings stage of the case. So I'm not sure that that was accurate or correct, but according to the trial court, that's not even going to be an issue.
My question was there were no facts presented regarding prejudice to State Farm or diligence.
The case hasn't developed far enough to get into that. It would all be spelled out in discovery.
How material is what you just stated about what the trial court said about things other than enforcing or requiring compliance with the appraisal clause?
Well, I think it's all material. I mean, the position is these were not damaged, and also, you know, there's exclusions that would apply. To go into the appraisal, they necessarily have to decide that causation issue. Was this actually damaged or not? And that would be a final binding decision on both parties, right? If they agree that, yes, there was some damage to the windows and the damage is X amount, we can't contest that at all based on this provision. And so it's a final material finding, and both parties would be bound by it.
Well, you haven't gone to that phase yet, though, right?
Right, I understand that.
You haven't sent out an appraiser. There's been no umpire selected.
Correct.
That's all on hold.
Pending this appeal, correct.
What's the standard of review here?
This is de novo on a judgment on the pleadings.
I'm sorry?
I believe it's de novo for judgment on the pleadings.
De novo review reviews what burden on review?
So here, judgment on the pleadings that the material facts, unless they're agreed to, would be held against the movement.
Why would there be a material issue of fact if the trial court was interpreting a contract?
Well, the material issue of fact is whether or not the damage to these windows fell within coverage in the first place, right? And the issue, too, is look at all of these cases. All of these insurance companies agree with what I'm saying. And what State Farm's arguing here, that these coverage issues shouldn't go to
appraisal. They once determined, the conventional wisdom was that the earth was flat. So when you say all the insurance companies agree, I think you're cherry-picking who the parties are that we're supposed to agree with or review seriously their expert opinions. The issue before us is whether or not the trial court abused its discretion in ordering the enforcement of this clause. You seem to be raising other clauses, other sections, other issues of fact relating to liability, relating to the amount of damages, and all we're doing is reviewing this order relating to appraisals. And so I don't know that you've really addressed what I've just mentioned. So would you do so on rebuttal?
Sure. Yes, Your Honor.
Any questions?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Phillips, you may proceed.
Good morning. I'm here today to ask that you affirm the lower court's decision on behalf of my client, the plaintiff, and appellee, Shi Ying Zhao. We do believe that the lower court correctly held two issues in its underlying order, the first being that the dispute that is central to this case was appropriate for appraisal. The second issue being that any alleged late notice issue was waived, and that there
why,
is...
Why was it waived?
Certainly. In this particular situation, when you look to the record, you'll see State Farm's own correspondence at, I believe it's C-74 to 77. In that correspondence, it addresses that they had received notice of the claim, didn't raise any issues with regard to late notice or a failure even to comply with the policy's preconditions. In fact, it discusses that they received notice, completed the purpose of the notice provision under the law, which is to provide notice in an investigation of that claim. They therein conclude that they are afforded coverage, or are affording coverage under the policy for certain aspects of damage caused by hail. And in this particular case, I think when you look to the case law, particularly State Farm versus Gray, in that case there was a 23-month delay. This only has an approximate 3-month delay between the event and the notice. In that case, the court particularly honed in upon the fact that there was a letter written by State Farm that then resulted in the waiver because they had found that there was coverage. And I think that that's a very simple thing. Had there not been notice of this claim, we wouldn't be here today, right? If there were issues with the notice or providing the claim to State Farm and their ability to investigate, we wouldn't be here addressing whether or not appraisal is appropriate for this dispute. And so turning to that issue, we do believe that obviously the Morrow decision out of the Fifth District is the most factually distinguishable case to the instant dispute when it comes from decisions out of the Illinois courts. We also believe that while only persuasive, the 14 federal court decisions that we cite on page 11 of our brief have all appropriately applied Illinois law to determine that disputes regarding causation, extent, scope, cost, and how to repair, as well as whether a general contractor is needed in the scope of that repair or replacement, are all questions to be decided as an amount of the loss. We don't disagree that FTI, Lundy, Lytle, and some of the other opinions that determined that there is a coverage question were appropriately decided. In each of those cases, as I believe Justice Burkett advised, those are factually distinguishable cases. You have issues of fraud, or within the FTI decision, you had two competing interpretations of which coverage position was to apply in that particular dispute. Here, we're not looking at a situation where State Farm is encouraging that the court interpret a policy provision. We're arguing that there's some ambiguity or question that the court needs to interpret the policy.
Well, counsel argues that causation is not an appropriate issue for an appraiser.
Respectfully, we disagree with counsel's position to the point which I believe was made by yourself, Justice, is that you have to look at what the appraisers do. And that is a very similar function as identified in the Bonbeck decision to what occurs by insurance adjusters, right? If somebody had to go out to Ms. Zhao's home in the very beginning and make a determination as to what damage was caused by hail. That is essentially the purpose of the appraisal process when the two parties disagree, right? You're challenging State Farm's decision to say this window was damaged by hail. That's what we're talking about here.
Is that what they're talking about, or are they talking about this window is damaged? It needs to be replaced or needs to be repaired?
Certainly. And I think that is a great question for State Farm because their record seems to suggest both ways, right? In many respects, in the letter, it says, in their estimate, it says, we've confirmed there is damage to windows, right?
Yeah, they're briefing. I'm curious, concomitant with what you just said, State Farm wants, I'd like to know what you want. When this goes back, what do you think the procedure is going to be? A motion for summary judgment? A directed finding? A trial where you seek the court to take judicial notice of the appraisals and their alleged indirect determination of causation? What do you see on the horizon upon remand?
Certainly, Your Honor. So assuming that the judgment is affirmed and the matter goes to appraisal, what I suspect will happen is that the dispute will be settled. The amount of loss will be paid, right? That is typically, I understand it's not in our record, but that is what happens with the appraisal process, is the amount of loss is set and the insurance company has certain provisions within the policy that aren't an issue here to make payment upon an appraisal award.
Doesn't the policy say that they have all rights and defenses?
They do, and I was just about to address that.
So the appraisal is going to effectively redact that clause from the insurance policy?
No, Your Honors. I believe you're correct. If State Farm continues to choose to challenge a coverage issue, then it'll be back before the lower court.
What's the difference between coverage and causation?
I believe in this case, coverage is the decision that there was a covered loss under the policy which has been made. Causation is a factual determination as to what damage was caused by a covered event. The policy provides for all risk coverage. So it specifically states that all accidental direct physical loss is covered unless limited or excluded. And so you have this broad grant of coverage. In this case, hail is admitted as a covered cause of loss.
Well,
so coverage,
if that's the case, will the appraisal indicate that it is only appraising the cost of replacement based upon the covered event and the damages arising out of that covered event? Or are they going? Is the appraisal going to cover merely replacement and won't exclude or consider depreciation, wear and tear, vandalism, neglect on the part of the homeowner? What is the appraisal going to delimit?
Certainly, Your Honor, and I think in part we have to go back to what the appraisal provision is in this particular case, because it does provide that there would be certain delineated aspects of the award. So to Your Honor's point, replacement costs and actual cash value. Those are items that have to be set forth in the award pursuant to State Farm's appraisal provision. Wear and tear is a component of depreciation, right? That's how you determine how much depreciation is taken. So inherently in calculating the actual cash value, that's a factor that would be taken in. If ultimately there was a separate standing exclusion that State Farm believed was a basis to challenge the award, then they would be able to come back into the court and challenge that. But to your point, I believe your first example is a correct a summation of what would be included in the appraisal award, that they're deciding the amount, replacement costs, actual cash value of the damages that arose from the April 20th, 2023 hailstorm at this particular residence. So, if Your Honors have additional questions, I am happy to handle them. Otherwise, we do ask that the court affirm the decisions from the lower court. We believe that there is appropriate support, that the causation aspect is appropriate to be decided in this particular case by the appraisers. I do want to touch back on one particular instance, which was a question as to, you know, who performs the process of the appraisal. And I think it's important that State Farm's policy also guides us there, right? There was a statement by State Farm that we don't know who those individuals are. However, State Farm's policy very clearly guides us that those individuals are going to have the background, training, and experience to be making these kinds of decisions. Again, we submit that there is no coverage question here. Counsel has repeatedly State Farm has repeatedly stated that there's an issue of coverage, but has yet to direct this court to what policy provisions require interpretation.
Inherent in a coverage issue is causation, right? I mean, somebody has to determine what caused the damage.
Yes, I believe that that is inherently a factual question in any first-party insurance property dispute, but that factual question does not prohibit the use of the appraisal provision in this particular case.
You say that they admitted an accidental direct physical loss. Where in the record do we find that?
I believe, Your Honors, I apologize, I did not bring the answer up here, but I believe when you review the answer of State Farm, you see that they have admitted that there was a claim that was made and admitted that there was payment. In order to get to the point of payment, there has to be accidental direct physical loss to the property. They admit that there was a hailstorm. All of these allegations are central to the determination of accidental direct physical loss or damage, which is the coverage grant.
Is it your claim that having offered an amount in compensation of the loss, that by asking for the appraiser to appraise the property, the issue of loss is now going to be determined by the appraisal protocol?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, could you repeat your question?
You received, or your client receives, a check for damages.
Correct.
You didn't cash the check?
That information is not contained within the record. However, I do believe the answer is there was an acceptance. There is no, there was a cashing of the check. There is no language on the face of the check or information that suggests that by cashing it, you can't dispute it. And I would refer, in fact, to, you know, State Farm's own estimate and the front of that estimate that suggests that if there's differences, you can continue to bring those up.
Okay.
Are you, they, here's, here, I did look at the answer, and it's, I read, it's on C-79 of the record, which you probably don't have there. I'm not asking. Yeah, it's not a test. But I read them, your allegation was they admitted, or something to the effect that they admitted accidental direct physical loss, and then what I read is that they denied that allegation. I do see the correspondence in the record. I think it was attached to your complaint. Where they lay out, you know, here we reviewed your loss and here's the value of the loss. I'm assuming, you know, and they make clear this is your actual, I think it's the actual cash value. And then if there's repair and replacement of some of the, then, you know, to the extent there's more allowed under the policy insured against, it's a loss insured against, then I guess they pay more. But that's, do I have the record right?
I will trust Your Honor that you reviewed that and that is, then that is accurate. But I don't think you can get to the point of agreeing that there was a covered loss and making a payment unless you find accidental direct physical loss under the coverage grant, which is what they had to do in order to arrive at the decision that there was coverage. I think to the point there are admissions that there's hail, there's admissions that there was damage, there's admissions that there's claims throughout the record. And so while that expressed statement might be denied as worded in an answer or as we worded it in our complaint, I think the record speaks for itself that there is an admission that there certainly was a claim that there was accidental direct physical loss caused by hail and that they paid that.
You know, we're not disputing that wear and tear is not covered, correct?
Correct.
It's not covered, is it?
It's not.
Well, I guess really I'm misusing my own terminology. It's a loss not insured against is the way the policy describes it.
That
dwelling is covered, and that's clear.
Agreed, Your Honor. And I believe that that comes down to the basis that you have to look at the grant as a whole, and it goes to the policy. You're not looking at the minutia of each event, or I'm sorry, of each element of the property, a shingle, a nail, that sort of thing, right? If you look to the Khalil decision in the Northern District, there is a good analysis of talking about the fact that the property is insured as a whole, not to its individualized component parts, and that's what we have here. The dwelling was covered. The windows are part of the dwelling. There was an admission of hail to those windows, and we're talking about the same windows here. there's nothing else, I thank Your Honors for your time.
The appraisal is, or the appraisals are admissible into evidence to establish what?
The amount of the loss.
If that's the case, is it subject to cross-examination such that if there isn't criteria relating to depreciation, wear and tear, vandalism, or other exceptions that would diminish the amount of the loss regardless of what the cash value and the replacement might be, that those are issues that the trial court would have to determine?
So I think that there is case law out there, I apologize, I don't have the citations, that discusses that the appraisal process is a kind of a quasi-judicial process, right, such that you're not necessarily going to call those appraisers in. It would be treated akin to an arbitration where you're not going to bring the arbiters in to discuss their decision. But I do believe because State Farm's policy is robust and it's going to address ACV and RCV, those components are going to be in that estimate. As to the rest of the vandalism, wear and tear, those issues are coverage issues that if State Farm believes are applicable, then they would challenge the award on the basis of those exclusions.
Well, if the policy says that the insurer doesn't give up any rights, then why wouldn't the insurer have the right to contest the reliability or the admissibility or the weight or the credibility of the appraisals?
I think, Your Honors, when you start to look at the case law, it suggests that the challenge could be to things like coverage, but to challenge the amount that those two individuals determined was the amount of the loss is not an appropriate challenge to the appraisal process. If State Farm is going to challenge the amount of the loss, then there would be no purpose in going forward with the appraisal.
Well, is there a disclaimer insofar as similar to, I believe, what accounting firms who audit and give out financial reports wherein the appraisals indicate the parameters of the coverage of the opinion or analyses that they have rendered?
Sometimes that's done. It's not a strict provision of the policy, but certainly memorandums of appraisal are things that parties will agree to in advance of going forward with an appraisal that can set forth that information.
If they don't do so, relative to things that are not recoverable under the policy, then does the trial court make adjustment, refuse to give any credibility to the appraisal, and does there need to be oral testimony given at trial wherein there is cross-examination of the appraisal or the appraiser and their opinion?
I would suggest, Your Honor, that would defeat the entire purpose of the appraisal if that's the road that this goes down, because then we're back in court and avoiding the purpose, which is to avoid litigation in the first instance and address the amount of the loss in a proceeding outside of the court. However, if those challenges are brought to coverage, then they are appropriately before the trial court and could be addressed at that time.
Well, I note that section, I think it's 4I, says the appraisal award may not be entered as a judgment in a court. So that has to mean something. You can't take the appraisal and present it and get money.
That's correct. I think if you look to the other portions of the policy, it does discuss that if
the coverage question and policy defenses remain.
Yes, and, but I also think to your point of payment, there are other payment provisions that provide once, you know, the appraisal award is entered, there's a period of time for, you know, payment after that award is issued.
So your argument seems to be that the appraisal or appraisals that are submitted are uncontestable and presumptively, irrebuttably presumptively admissible. because you seem to be saying that regardless of the quality or the quantity or the limitations placed therein by the opinion, that this constitutes proof of loss. If for some reason, for instance, there were windows in a garage and a garage was also considered covered under the incident, but they left the garage off, that therefore your client wouldn't get any coverage on the garage? In other words, if you're assuming arguendo, I believe, or you're using an enthymeme that presumes that this appraisal or appraisals are perfect or errorless or irrebuttable. Am I incorrect in understanding your argument or not?
I believe so. We certainly believe that State Farm reserves the right to coverage, and I do believe that when you review the policy, this language in its total, it does not provide the word binding. And when you look to other Illinois case law, that case law does discuss and distinguish between an appraisal provision, which says that it's binding and therefore could not be challenged, and appraisal languages that don't have the word binding that could. And so certainly not suggesting that there couldn't be an error, such as Your Honor indicated, and it could be challenged. I'm certainly just suggesting that more often than not, they are not challenged after they are issued as a means to resolve disputes. However, that certainly can happen.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, you may proceed.
Thank you. Justice McLaren, you had asked me specifically to address this issue of abuse of discretion, or maybe it's de novo. I think here, my position was that this was a de novo review because this was an order to compel arbitration without an evidentiary hearing. At least there's support for that in the Travis case, which even plaintiff acknowledged in her response brief on page 7. Regardless of whether it's abuse of discretion or de novo, what we're reviewing here and what we believe the error was by the trial court was that they assumed that the moment State Farm made a payment for a portion of the loss, that automatically there's a covered event, a covered loss, and therefore everything can be submitted to appraisal at that point. The issue we have with that is just too general of a position to apply to all appraisals. His ruling, the trial court judge's ruling, did just that. But these are creatures within the policy. They're governed by their language, right? They can be totally removed from the policy. They can be very broad or limited. But regardless of how it's written, what can actually be submitted to appraisal is governed by the policy language itself. The trial court didn't analyze any of the language past amount of the loss in this case. Didn't get into Section H, which talked about no other questions of fact other than the amount of each item in dispute, what the damage was to that, can be submitted to appraisal, no other contractual questions, certainly no coverage questions. That wasn't discussed at all by the trial court. The trial judge stopped at, they issued payment for the window wrapping, therefore they've acknowledged there's a covered loss. Everything else goes to appraisal as well. That's the error, whether you analyze that under abuse of discretion or de novo. At the pleading stage of the case, certainly there's a question of fact that exists as to whether or not the damage or not of these windows falls within the coverage within this policy. That's a fundamentally coverage question in our view. And the court stopped at amount of loss and didn't move any further.
What do you think of the question by Justice Mullen regarding the appraisal or appraisals shall not be entered as a judgment?
Right. I mean, it sets the amount of loss. It's not contestable. I think when you read that section in conjunction with the rest of the policy, it may infer that an appraisal could occur without a lawsuit. In other words, if you go through the process pre-suit, you can't then come back and enter that as a judgment award. There can be potentially other challenges. It could be a suit limitation issue, other It could be an insurable interest issue, things like that. So there are still some coverage issues that would exist outside of the appraisal process. We're not denying that. You know, we've raised one here.
But you're discerning this by inference? So it's not clear from the policy? Can't we just determine from the plain language?
It can't be entered as a judgment. That's what the plain language says.
It can't be entered as a judgment, and you retain your contractual or policy defenses.
Right.
It says coverage is right in that same sentence.
Right. But we can't challenge the actual amount, I think, is the bigger problem.
Right. You can't challenge the amount, I suppose.
You know, and the question from the panel was.
But you can't challenge coverage.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And we can challenge coverage. The problem is that when coverage is an issue, which it is here, inevitably that's going to bleed into the appraisal because you can imagine one appraiser is going to say, I think the windows are damaged. The other one going to say, no, this is wear and tear. So there, we've invoked the exclusion that's been placed into the record into this case. So they're going to have to decide that issue at the appraisal. That for sure will happen in this case if it goes to appraisal. Now, that should not go to appraisal because it is a...
Why not?
Because it's fundamentally a coverage question, right?
Well, the coverage issue, within the coverage issue is determining the amount of the loss. Once there's coverage, you have to determine the amount of the loss. And causation is always going to be a relevant consideration by anybody who's out there doing an appraisal.
Well, the...
I mean, who decides that?
Right. So how it's decided initially, and you can look at the record in this case, is there wasn't an appraiser that decided what was damaged and was not in this case.
No, a claims adjuster.
Right. Claims adjuster and a building company.
Right.
Right. Who would act as, you know, I guess if the case progressed, potentially expert witnesses. And they would, you know, they would place into the record, you know, we don't, this is why it's not covered because, you know, it wasn't damaged at all or the small damage we found was, you know, wear and tear. The appraiser's job is to determine the amount of a loss, something that the parties have acknowledged there's coverage for. There's not coverage for just a blanket coverage across the board just because one item is deemed to be covered. And I think that's the issue we're having here is that and what the trial court fell, the trap that the trial court fell into, which is the moment any payment goes out, you can't contest causation outside of appraisal. It has to be determined there. And this is a big problem. You can have a sliver of a claim covered, be a $500 cap on the roof, and yet the insurance company, or it could be the insured, I guess it's not impossible for that to work the other way around, they would lose their right to litigate this issue in court and instead hand it off to these appraisers to decide issues, fundamentally which are coverage issues, and in this case, which are not supposed to be submitted to an appraiser to decide. You know, this is legal issues, interpretation of policy language, all comes into that. And a case like this where there's
there's no allegations of fraud here like there were in some of the cases that you cited in your brief.
Correct,
right?
There's not.
There's no allegation of fraud, which
no.
That would not be an issue that could be determined by an appraiser.
Correct. Yeah, this case is closer to if it's Little or Lytle, which is a 2015 case where the insured is saying, well, we should get coverage for these building code enforcement upgrades. The insurance company says, no, we don't believe that that's an issue and it's not covered. And the appellate court agreed, said, yeah, that's a coverage question. You can't take it to appraisal. Whether or not there's coverage for that item at all, it's an issue. And that's what we're raising here, which is without any damage, there is no coverage to these windows. And that fundamentally would be decided at this appraisal. I don't think there's any question about that. Someone's going to make a decision, you know, these windows are damaged by the hail, therefore it's covered. Right? That would be the first time there would be a decision on coverage in the case for the windows.
Your definition of coverage seems rather broad to me. Could you explain why, if there's no damage, there's no coverage? You remind me of a Monty Python sketch where the Reverend Morrison car was hit in a garage by a lorry. And he was asking why his claim was refused. And he was told that he bought a very good policy, except the terms of the policy said that they wouldn't honor any of his claims. And so the question then becomes, what is coverage? Is coverage supposed to be the incident that is defined and the type of damage that is caused by a hailstorm or a conflagration, a flood? Or is it, as you seem to be using it, whether or not it covers things like depreciation? And if it doesn't cover depreciation, then there's no coverage. Now, are we defining the event or the incident, or are we defining the specific number of pockmarks that the hail causes as it strikes the construction?
Yeah, there has to be sudden accidental physical damage to the property for it to be covered under this policy. Without any sudden or accidental physical damage to the property, it's not provided for in this policy. That's the coverage grant.
It's a loss not insured.
Correct.
In the terms of the policy.
Right. And that's why there's a differentiation between wear and tear.
Covered.
But right.
The dwelling is covered.
Yeah, right. The whole house is covered, but you actually have to have physical damage caused by, in this case, a hailstorm for any policy benefit
to be
taken.
To be insured against.
Correct.
That's the language of your policy.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Would it be correct to say that if the house was subject to demolition notification by the city, there would be no coverage under the insurance policy?
I would say that I would need more information on that hypothetical.
Pardon?
I would need more information on that hypothetical before I can give you my opinion.
Well, the point is, if it's been condemned and it needs to be destroyed, then where is the damage that would fit into the sudden incidental damage caused by a hailstorm if before the hailstorm, I'll qualify that, the notification of demolition occurred before the hailstorm hit?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on what would be the reason for the demolition. Say if a tornado went through the area and damaged the structure and the foundation such that it was unsafe to live in, and then there had to be demolition. Okay, there's a sudden and accidental physical damage to the property, right? And then some hail hits it. I think sort of that's what your example was, which is, if there's, in that scenario, there's no tornado, there's no hail, just over time the building deteriorates, the foundation starts to crumble, that's not a sudden accidental damage to the property. That's long-term wet rot, wear and tear that caused the building to slowly deteriorate to the point where it needed to be demolished. So two different things there. And I think that's what we're getting into in the issue of the case, which is really a question of fact that hasn't been decided yet. And
I think you've gone beyond the question, and now you're hypothecating.
Okay. No. Sorry, Your Honor.
Any other questions?
You mentioned Little earlier. Little was fouched because he didn't include in the record a copy of his request for appraisal, correct?
I think partially correct, yes.
There are no further questions. There was only one case on the call. Oral argument is complete. Court is adjourned.